Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Monday, September 29th. The Colorado River could fall to dangerously low levels. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The massive Midway Rising project is one step closer to becoming a reality. The San Diego Planning Commission voted unanimously this past Thursday to recommend that City Council approve the proposal. The project is a complete overhaul of the 49-acre sports arena site in the Midway District. Developers plan to build more than 4,000 housing units, with half of them being affordable units. If approved, it would make it the largest affordable housing development in the history of California. Midway Rising is also set to include multiple acres of public parks, as well as a 16,000-seat stadium. The project will now head to the Land Use and Housing Committee for a vote. There's been an exodus over the past year or two of insurance companies packing up and no longer doing business in California. Well, five insurance companies have now changed their minds and are back to offering coverage across the state. Those companies are Mercury Insurance, CSAA, USAA, Pacific Specialty, and California Casualty. Governor Gavin Newsom says reforms lured the companies back. The reforms include the ability to use catastrophe modeling, which analyzes wildfire history and other data, to set rates. In exchange for this, insurance companies have to provide more coverage in high-risk areas. The companies also requested rate increases of 6.9%. Chula Vista has become the first city in the county to begin using AI in policing. That's according to reporting by Voice of San Diego. Chula's city council voted last week to use AI to turn footage from police officers' body-worn cameras into written police reports. The tools are able to generate a near-instantaneous police report while officers are still on the scene. Civil liberties advocates warn that the technology is too new, quirky, and error-prone. Chula Vista's police chief told Voice that the tools are a huge time saver. A small initial group of roughly 8 officers have been using the AI tool suite for several months, and now all of the department's 110 patrol officers will undergo training to use the tools. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
A new analysis warns the Colorado River could fall to dangerously low levels next year. Reporter Corey Suzuki says the river supplies water to cities and farms across San Diego and Imperial counties.
The warning comes just 3 years after the Colorado River was threatened by an intense drought. Some fear the river could stop flowing entirely, but a series of storms relieved that pressure.
We had a good year in 2023, which bailed us out. But since then, we've been spending more than we've brought in.
Jack Schmidt is the director of the Center for Colorado River Studies and led the analysis. He says the river is closer than previously thought to running into serious infrastructure problems. Schmidt and his co-authors are urging the Trump administration to order cuts to all 7 states that rely on the river.
Everybody needs to be cut. And we use the word enforceable. Not voluntary.
Around 2/3 of San Diego County's water and all of Imperial County's comes from the Colorado River. But if cuts do happen, both counties would probably be last in line. That's because they have some of the oldest legal claims to the river. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
For the first time, a group of faculty at USD have a union contract. Education reporter Katie Anastas says it comes after more than a year of negotiating.
The contract applies to non-tenure track faculty in the university's College of Arts and Sciences. Soroya Rowley is a theater lecturer and spokesperson for the bargaining team.
We teach 51% of student contact hours. 51% of the teaching is done by the non-tenure track faculty in the College of Arts and Sciences.
She says their contract includes wage increases, back pay, and job security based on seniority. Faculty members went on strike in May after they said the university cut courses without bargaining over the impact on union members. Rowley says that strike made a difference.
They saw that we were serious, that we had this collective power, that we could withhold our labor if we had to, and that was what we needed to get us here.
The contract now requires the university to pay faculty members a cancellation fee if it reduces their workload. In a statement, the university thanked, quote, all involved for their time and diligence throughout the collective bargaining process. The union says its members ratified the contract with 99% voting yes. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
San Diego FC's Right to Dream Academy is officially open in El Cajon on the Sequan Reservation. It's a free youth academy for elite soccer players, and now it has its first club in place. Thousands of young boys from San Diego and Tijuana tried out for the program. 11-year-old Nicolas Bolivar made the team.
I hope it leads to me being professional in a few years and be one of the greatest.
The youth players will live and go to school on site and train alongside the pros from the Major League Soccer team. The MLS says it's a first-of-its-kind program in the league. There are plans to expand the academy in future years to additional age groups and girls' teams. A well-loved park in Bonita is set for a makeover, but it's up to residents to decide what kind. iNews Source intern Rami Alarian has more.
Roar Park fans are tasked with voting on two possible renovation options. Chula Vista Parks and Recreation Director Frank Carson says the decision is up to the community.
I want the largest amount of community input that we can to actually have a plan that the community has a buy-in to.
The light touch option focuses on improving existing amenities, with additions like a community garden and more shrubbery. The active community hub option adds a lot more, things like a splash pad, a pump track, and three pickleball courts. So far, it's getting the most public support. The city expects to close in on a final plan this winter and introduce it to a city council first thing next year. For KPBS, I'm iNews Source intern Rami Alarian.
iNews Source is an independently funded nonprofit partner of KPBS. This story is part of our Public Matters partnership. To find out more, go to kpbs.org/publicmatters. All right, SDNN listeners, today is another installation of the pod behind the package. Package is news slang for a news story. The premise for this segment is simple. Identify standout pieces and stories from my colleagues that create or spark impact, inspiration, or some sense of feeling. Once per week, I'll bring in a reporter, anchor, or video journalist for a behind-the-scenes deeper dive and informal chat. Joining me this week is reporter Corey Suzuki regarding his package, The Race to Understand the Salton Sea's Dust Storms. Here's that combo. Corey Suzuki, how you doing?
Hey, Lawrence. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. Listen, in regards to your most recent story, as an East Coaster, when I first started listening to it, the only image I could get or not get out of my head, I should say, was Dune. Is that accurate? Were you there when any kick up or storm occurred? Can you like take us to the scene itself, Corey?
You know, I should say I have not ever seen a full on dust storm myself.
Okay.
So I can only speak to what I've seen in images and videos. But the story that really sticks with me is hearing one of the folks who I spoke to who live around the Salton Sea, Nelly Perez. She described what it looks like to see a dust storm. She's grown up in Nyland, and she remembers seeing them every year, kind of basically growing up whenever the monsoon season would come around. And she said they're quiet, and she said you don't hear them coming. You just look out. The sky kind of turns dark, and then you see them coming from across the horizon. This massive wall of dust. Dust storms can reach up to 10,000 feet high. They can they sort of look like at their most sort of at their most intense form, like a kind of towering wall of dust approaching. So it's, I mean, it's intense from what I know.
It sounds intense, honestly. And take us back to really even the beginning of how you first got alerted about some of these dust storms in the Salton Sea. How far back does this story's beginning go?
Well, I've been thinking about this specific story since last year when I came across this bill that was advancing through the California legislature, which was specifically focused on this idea of a pilot project where these researchers across the UC system would get together and start up a forecasting system. That's what the bill described. And I wanted to learn more about what that meant and what this might look like. And then the bill died. It stopped advancing and eventually was essentially killed by state lawmakers. It was not going to move any further.
Is there any sort of messaging around this dust storm to raise awareness, like signs in the area outside of your story?
That's a good question. The Salton Sea gets a lot of attention. This kind of the fact that it has all of these different pieces, it's connected to the Colorado River because most of the water that drains into it is connected to that. It's connected to agriculture. It's connected to climate change. And so the fact that it has all of these ties to these large-scale issues that are part of national conversations, I think, leads to it getting a lot of a big focus, a lot of research, a lot of history.
What would you say are the overall next steps? If we come in and you pitch Salton Sea Part 2, what could be some of the happenings or findings that developed that would bring a Part 2 of this series?
This story took a lot of time. Took a lot of time to get together. I think part of it will be waiting to see what happens, continuing to follow the research that Evan and the UC Dust Group are doing, and continuing to see whether they are able to find the funding and the expertise and the equipment and all of the pieces necessary to, like they've described, assemble this vision and put together this early warning system, this forecasting system that would be able to give people a better chance today to protect themselves from these dust storms.
That was Corey Suzuki for this week's Pod Behind the Package. That is it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I really want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
From El Centro to everywhere, we're Voices del Valle.
Voices del Valle?
Voices del Valle is a team-produced podcast about coming of age in California's Imperial Valley.
I love Voices del Valle.
On the next episode of Voices del Valle, we will talk with teens about their cheer and soccer championship seasons. I've got to listen to that. Voices del Valle, fresh voices, bold stories made in the valley.
Voices del Valle, find us on KPBS or wherever you get your podcasts.